All right, well, let's go ahead and open our Bibles tonight to 1 Corinthians. And we're moving on into the ever-increasing revelation of the in Christs that were given to the Apostle Paul that, thank God, have been made known to us. And as we turn over to 1 Corinthians, you don't have to wait long for the first in Christ. You go there to verse 2. It says there, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. So think of that. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. To them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called saints. Not called to be saints. That to be is an added two words. Called saints. With all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul's in Christ here to start has very special encouragement to these believers in Corinth. Notice here it says, them that are sanctified in Christ called saints. See, brothers and sisters, this is the truth in love in Christ that speaks, praise God, and should speak and inspire every single believer. Especially if you know of the saints that were at Corinth. If you read, there was much correction that needed to happen here. These saints at Corinth, they were very unsettled. They were very fleshly. There were a lot of things that were going on. But isn't it marvelous, Paul speaking the truth? And he sees them and he greets them only as they would be greeted by Jesus Christ himself. They are in Christ. And I love that. And I pray God would give us enlightened eyes of understanding and heart of God's love. And especially God's love when we're dealing with his people. But in Christ, as we begin here and in this second verse, we all have the same potential. Do you know that? Every child of God has the same potential. God does not have favorites, no matter if each and every one of us want to think we are his favorite. God just makes us feel that way. He's God, and he's very loving, and he's very amazing. But he's no respecter of person, and all of his sons he loves the same. And he wants the exact same for them. He wants them to grow up. He wants them to rejoice and enjoy and know every privilege and provision, every promise, the glory that not only is before them, but the glory of God that can grow up in them for the fullness of his inheritance. And I thank God for this. It's encouraging. He's not a respecter of person. I mean, Jesus Christ himself, think of that. He sought out the ones that his disciples didn't want to be around. You know that. That Samaritan woman, well, we'll stand back here and let you go. You're just having an off day, Jesus, or something like that. Why would you want to go see her? And I'm sure when he got to her, he said, please excuse these knuckleheads. They don't get it yet. But I'll tell you what, God's got an appointment for you, honey, at the well. And it's all here for you. And it's just flowing and flowing. And you could see the encouragement that God brought to her. He knows me, but yet he loves me. She went back to that village. She said, he knows everything about me. And yet he still loves me and he talks to me. Oh, he is the I am that I am. He's my Savior. And I thank God for that. But this is this heart, brothers and sisters, that the Lord can give us, and so grace the Apostle Paul with this true, divine, agape love. And notice here as this begins, it says, and as you look at verse 2, and I don't want to get into this part of it, but there's so many things, the depth that are just in one scripture, brothers and sisters, it's endless. But notice here as he says, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, okay? So there's a general invitation and an encouragement there as this intro comes in, but then it separates it immediately to the church, but then it goes right to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. He's going after those that are, again, that are hearing the word of God. There were ones in Corinth, as you read this, that truly knew the scriptures. They did. There was a lot of things being pulled back and forth, but there were ones that Paul was encouraged especially to go after. But Paul says, and he speaks to the ones that are sanctified. That means set apart to him in Christ. Ye that are called saints. And it's a high regard and esteem that he gives them immediately. And again, let this speak to us what's in us, which is in Christ. That's how Paul greets them. This is the esteem that Paul gives to them, that they are sanctified in Christ. We're done. Praise God. We're one. Amen. And I thank the Lord. That's what's so beautiful about meeting those of like precious faith. You may have never met them in your whole life, but immediately you know, praise God, we're not just of the same family of God. We're of the same body of Christ. We're joints of that precious body. We're tightly fit. We're compacted. Hallelujah. And I thank God that as we grow in that wonderful grace and knowledge of who we are, we leave the earthly things and we begin to meditate and have a life and a conversation on the heavenly. That we live the things in Christ that are forever and who we are. We begin to live, praise God, not in this momentary life. We live in the forever, the eternal. By the grace of God, we know that God has graced us to have this calling and the knowledge that we have, that he wants us to know him. The revelation of this God who is so intimate of heart that he wants you to know his love. And he wants us to grow into the full capacity of it. Not that we could admire him standing on his throne and waving palms, which is a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful company that's going to be there. Matter of fact, it's the innumerable multitude. It's the majority of Christians. But I thank the Lord. He wants more for us if we'll take it. He wants more for us. He wants to share that glory. As he said in Romans 8, if we're children of God, we're heirs of God. And joint heirs with Jesus Christ. See, it changes. It moves. He wants more. Wouldn't every father, even a natural father that loves his children, wouldn't he push them and want the best and more for them? Absolutely. But that can't compare to God. And God wants his sons to grow up. He wants them to fully reign. They've been born, as we're going to read again in Galatians 4. We've been born Lord of all. We truly have. Because if you're born again of the life of the Son of God, let me explain this. It's Lord of all. Praise God. Why not grow up into it? Amen. And all things. And have that full knowledge of the mature sons of God. I thank him for this. But let it speak to us. Because see, this wonderful new birth births us a Lord of all. Let's go on over to Galatians 4 verse 1. Let's go back and just again be reminded in this precious, wondrous grace. How immense it is. Galatians 4, 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, see, if you're a child, you're an heir of God. But the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. See, there's a choice, brothers and sisters, that remains for us, and it's very apparent. Will we remain a child in knowledge of who we are in Christ and only have what a child would have? What? A servant mentality. The majority of Christianity today, the speak is servant. It's pretty much all you ever hear. I'm a servant, I'm a servant, I'm a servant. Oh my, please read the Word of God. Read what he wants. Quit having your flesh pick what you think is really humble and glorious. Matter of fact, anything that I've ever thought was humble and glorious isn't, because his ways aren't my ways. Amen. I thank God that I've grown to learn that when you really fall in love with someone, you will serve them. But praise be to God, he wants you to enjoy everything with him. He wants a spouse. He wants a wife. Praise be to God. How could we not receive these things from the Word of God? Especially like with King Ahasuerus. There was Esther. There was Esther. And, you know, she was an orphan that they brought into the kingdom. And I'm sure it was, you know, again, something of a hidden thing, but people know everything. You know how that is. Yeah. Well, where are you from? I'm sure she was treated poorly, badly, and all that. How did you get in here? You know, you're just a stray. No, she was God's choice. Amen. And there she got in there, and she had that sweet uncle that knew. Let me tell you something, honey. You have an ear for one thing. You hear what the keeper of the women says to you, honey. A lot of people will tell you a lot of things, a lot of bad things, a lot of things that'll throw you off too, a lot of things that you might think are good that'll tickle your ear, but it'll throw you off too. You take only what the keeper of the women says. You do everything he says. And you know what? She was obedient in heart. She had an ear to hear only that. And praise the Lord, as she got to that point where she would come before the king, she knew that it could be a dangerous thing. She knew that it could be something, but she knew she had to go. And she was expecting something, but what she was giving was so exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. How could we not receive that? She was going for salvation for her and her people. And the king, before she ever uttered a word, said, "What's your request, honey? And by the way, before you start, what's mine is yours." I always wonder if she said, "Could you say that again?" You know, it's just like, how many times? But how many times does he tell us this in the Word of God? You know what I'm saying? They wrote those things for us. Always remember that. That wasn't just something that was beautiful and shared with Esther. Those hidden things, those things that they wanted to look into. They were beautiful and they were encouraging about God's faithfulness to that little girl. God's faithfulness to Israel. Amen? But God had a deeper, deeper purpose. That the Holy Ghost someday would reveal all those things. That there would be that chief of sinner, the Apostle Paul. That God would touch that life and say, "Okay, this is the chosen vessel unto me." And now he's going to bring forth that mystery that's going to make all those things known. And here we sit tonight, praise be to God. And because we rejoice and hear that word and hear those things, just as Esther, only the things that are spoken by the keeper of the women. You know who the keeper of the women is? The same one that led old Rebecca right to the hand of Isaac. Amen? It's the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost. Hear him. Hear him. Hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. And if that will be your ear, you will hear right now the king tell you, "Honey, what's mine's yours. What's mine's yours. What's mine's yours." Oh, Martha, you're encumbered with a lot of things. Don't you bother her. She's chosen the better part. She's got me. And I always loved that. Jesus was so enamored with Mary. He had to even come out of that one. You don't think you occupy his mind and his heart? Oh, I pray and I hope you do. Because he's crazy about you. Crazy about you. That's why he gives us this tonight. But see here, will we grow up fully in Christ in you, the hope of glory? Will you grow up fully? Or are you going to abide as this child that never grew up and just wants to be like a servant in the kingdom when he was born for one thing, to rule and reign over it all? That would be the greatest disappointment to a father, wouldn't it? To know that they had a perfectly healthy child. And, you know, I'm not trying to get into the politics of a lot of different things, but I'm telling you, that thing, you know, about Prince Harry, it really spoke to me. And I understand, you know, people want to live their own lives and all of that, but it spoke to me in the Word of God. I don't think he really honored and loved what he was born into. I didn't walk in his shoes. I'm just saying, I want to honor what I've been born into. I don't want to be carried away from it. I don't want to be led away. It's just a type and an example. I'm sure I'll get a couple calls on this one. But get over it. If you just kind of pay attention, the Lord will speak to you about a lot of different things. But I mean that. We're children of the King, but we've been born to grow up and to rule and reign with Him. Amen. Rule and reign with Him. So a Lord of all, ruling and reigning jointly together with Him, that's what fully grown Lord of alls do. And that's who you are. That's who every child of God is. You know that? Every single child of God has that. Has that full potential. And all that has to happen is the knowledge for the full capacity to come forth. Okay? Think of that. Now, let's go on in the in Christ as we go along here to prove the desire for the Lord for us to grow up. Because in the Word of God, there's children and then there's grown sons. There are readied wives and there are little sisters. So let's go on to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. Let's read that in Christ. Paul says to him, And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Oh, now look at that. Huh? So brethren in Christ are not all in the same capacity of believing, are they? Matter of fact, it says these were babes in Christ. And this word babes is a very interesting word. It's nepios, which means little babies, untaught infants. It's exactly what that word babes means. So I want you to think about this. Paul is penning this letter. Now, if you're a Christian and you're reading this and the Apostle Paul took the time to write to you and tell you this, this would hurt. It should hurt you. If it doesn't hurt you, something's wrong with you. Amen. And he's speaking to his brother in Christ. This is his family of God. And it's urgent. Quit being a child. Now, without the teaching, because these were untaught infants. That's what little babes means, untaught infants. So without teaching, and as we're going to see here in a little bit, without teaching by those that are in Christ as Paul, you remain a babe in Christ. And once again, how sad it is to, when we've been born lords of all, to remain a babe, a servant, baby mentality in the Lord. And yet we see that most Christians, all they want to do is serve. And I believe if the Apostle Paul was writing this letter, you could even put in there, wake up, baby. Wake up, little baby. And I'm not trying to be obnoxious here. I'm not trying to get someone mad. By the grace of God, I'm just preaching the word. And Paul, his gospel, look as to what it says here. Brethren, I could not speak unto you as spiritual. That's a big statement. I could not speak unto you as spiritual. And the reason is, I cannot speak unto babes. Means I can't disclose the thoughts of my gospel to you. It's exactly what that means. I can't disclose the thoughts of my gospel to you. I can't speak to you like that. And why? Because they are not spiritual, but carnal. Now let's define really what spiritual is. Spiritual, by the grace of God, is faith. Amen. That's what spiritual is to live by faith. It's wanting the word of God. Carnal is anything but that. Carnal is anything that the flesh would desire that's not the word of God. It's the truth, not yielding to the word of God. It could be carnal, could be legality, all the way to the lasciviousness of sin. Amen. You see? It's whatever this flesh would desire that doesn't want to settle down in faith. That's what this is about. These saints did not want to settle down in the truth. They saw it. They had a vision of it in a sense. They've heard it. But yet it wasn't their first love. It was something that, well, this is the way that I'm going to take the word of God. And this is how I'm going to live the word of God. Well, I'll tell you what, that doesn't work that way. The word of God lives in you. And that word is, I'll tell you what, it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that word is spirit, praise God. And it's a spiritual life. And that spiritual life lives one way, by faith of the Son of God. And I thank the Lord. There it is. That's how sweet and encouraging this can be. Now, go on over to chapter 4, verse 15. This kind of just keeps expanding. So he couldn't speak to these as spiritual because they were babes in Christ. Go on over to chapter 4 and verse 15. And what does it say there? For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ. That's a lot, isn't it? 10,000 instructors in Christ. I guess everybody was an instructor there. Have you ever been in them churches where they have 50 pastors? Did I say that? I guess I did. All right now. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. All right. Now this is a very precious thing here. We have 10,000 of instructors in Christ here, but not many fathers in Christ. Fathers in Christ, as it says here, as Paul hath begotten. This word begotten, it means to cause to arise and build up. It's a beautiful meaning of this word begotten. It means to cause to arise and build up. Think about Paul's gospel. As he said to him, turn on over to Acts 20, verse 32. Remember as he told those Ephesian elders before he left? In Acts 20, 32, he says, and now, brethren, what did he do? I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. So see what Paul was going after even in the very beginning. Remember as we had our intro. Them that are sanctified in Christ. Amen. He was going after those. He was going after those that wanted to be separated out. And how you're going to be separated out is you need to have the fathers in the gospel. All right. Paul's one of those. There's 10,000 of pastors and ministers that are in Christ. This wasn't talking about ministers that were preaching, that weren't preaching the blood. These ones were in Christ. These were Christian ministers. But as I always loved how Andrew said that after he got my nephew Andrew, remember him, and how he got that vision of the deeper things of God. He got filled with the Holy Ghost, started to see the bridal truth. His daddy took him back home and said, okay, well, we're going back to church. And it was Sunday morning, and Andrew wasn't getting dressed. He said, well, what's wrong? And he said, well, Dad, I'm not going to go listen to that baby pastor anymore. He got it. And he didn't even realize, praise God, that he was speaking the word of God. He was speaking the word of God right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and chapter 4. There's 10,000 of those guys, Dad. But now, I've been ministered truly by those that follow Paul as he follows Christ. The fathers in the truth that are telling me, yea, the deep things of God. A father that doesn't withhold a thing. A father that wants that son to grow up even beyond them. Amen? Isn't that a true love of a dad? Praise God. And this is what is so precious here. This is exactly why that as Paul's gospel, it causes us to arise and build up. It's the word of his grace that builds us up and gives us an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. It's the only gospel that does it. And these ministers that it's speaking of here, that for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel, those are the fathers, the few that preach as the Apostle Paul and preached what gospel the Apostle Paul preached, as he said, my gospel. And I thank the Lord for that. And how clear this is. And that's what fathers do. They foster a son in every manner. They don't withhold a thing in the word of God. They give the whole counsel for the Son of God to grow up, arise, and grow up fully. That's a true father's heart in truth. They love. And there's nothing else but for that son to grow up. Now, let's go on to verse 17 as we conclude this little journey tonight. It says, for this cause, so for though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet ye don't have many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel, wherefore I beseech you, be followers of me. So Paul has encouraged them, be followers of me, because this is this fathering in the gospel. For this cause I have sent unto you who? There he is, Timotheus, old Timothy, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ. Oh, that's a big one. My ways, Paul's ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere and in every church. See, Paul wasn't just going to send him anybody. Paul wrote this letter to them that are sanctified, set apart in Corinth. God put it on Paul's heart. Honey, somebody there is going to receive it. There's some there. Now, Paul didn't want to be there that long because he couldn't necessarily see it. But he believed God for it. They were squirrely as squirrels could be. You read about those Corinthians, and I'll tell you what. Just look at your own flesh. It sins all there. But he loved them because God told him there's going to be some that'll love that truth there, son. And so he sends them, not just anybody. He sends them Timothy. Now, when he sends Timothy to him, let me tell you something. Timothy's a young man, a very young man. And when Timothy shows up there, he sure don't look like any father. It's not what you look like, it's what you have to say. Do you have the Father's speech? Do you have the King's speech? Really, it's true. The ruling and reigning speak. That's what this is. This is the Father's heart that's going to grow them up. They have to hear this. So, how sweet here. He says, for this cause I've sent Timothy to be that father. And the reason why young Timothy is a father is because Timothy is a follower of Paul and preaches only Paul's gospel. I mean, it don't get much clearer than this. You can either be a babe in Christ because you don't want to be spiritual. But if you're desiring to be spiritual, I'll send you a Timothy. Amen? Amen? I'm not just going to send you anybody. I'm going to send you somebody who follows me as I follow Christ. Brothers and sisters, it is that exact. It is that to the mark for the price for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There were 10,000s of ministers in Christ. Just like there's tens of thousands of ministers in Christ today. See, that's why it hurts my heart when people will say, well, you think you're the only one. I don't think I'm the only one, but I know there's not many. There's not many. It's not because I'm anything, but I know that praise be to God, he'll have grace upon whom he'll have grace. And this isn't something that everybody's going to receive. Matter of fact, very, very few are going to receive it. Because if everybody was going to receive it, it would be there would be 10,000 of the fathers and just a few of these ones that would teach the babies. But it's flip-flopped. And you know it's flip-flopped because the babies, their speak will be because what they're taught and fed is service, servant. That's the mentality. They stand right at the front doors of 99.9% of the churches that preach Christ, in Christ today. And they hand out palms. They should. You just hand out a palm. Here you go. We're just packing in the innumerable multitude right here today. And that's exactly it. Amen. Now, the mature way, the spiritual way, isn't just a free-for-all. And what it says here is that Timothy was fathered by Paul's gospel. That's what this is saying. And you know that. He's my son in the faith. He fathered him. Amen. He was begotten. When Paul met Timothy, do you know this? Paul didn't lead Timothy to the Lord. No. Read Acts, I think it's the 16th chapter. The disciples, he met him and the disciples spoke highly of Timothy. That's when Paul first met him. But after he met Paul, he became Paul's son in the faith. Then he grew up. You see? He was a child at that time, even as a disciple. Or be known of the disciples. Because he needed to hear the gospel. Because without hearing Paul's gospel, you can't grow up. Amen. It's the truth. Just read it. Just let it soak in. It's plain. You can try to twist it whatever you want, but the word is the word. And it don't change. And I thank God it's right here and it's right out for us. So Timothy was fathered by Paul's gospel. It means that Paul's gospel grew Timothy up in the fullness of God. And I believe by the grace of God, hallelujah, we all are sons of Paul too. Amen. Amen, we are. We're sons in that faith, hallelujah. Because we followed him as he followed Christ. Not that we worship Paul in any way. He's a precious brother. But I'll tell you one thing. God gave that precious brother the message. That was God's chosen vessel. And thank you, Jesus. Amen. And we should be. That's all that we should be too, is those sons of Paul. Because that's what we preach and teach in this place. Amen. And see what a treasure, praise God, that he gives us to feed on. And he's good to us, brothers and sisters. And as we started earlier, I just think, you know, Lord, you chose us because you love us. And I thank the Lord for it. But see, there is Timothy. And it says, I have sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord. Oh, I'd love that. He's faithful in the Lord. In Christ, in Paul's gospel, brothers and sisters, that's where the place of faithfulness in the Lord is. See, people try to act as if somehow their actions are going to be faithful. That's not it. It's the heart. It's the faith of the gospel. It's the faith of the word of God. Timothy didn't veer from that. By the grace of God, that's what he was after. That's why Paul was confident in Christ in Timothy. That he would bring people in the remembrance of Paul's ways in Christ. Not Joe's ways in Christ or Jesse's ways in Christ or Barney's ways in Christ. Or anybody's ways in Christ. Paul said, my ways See, Paul took that from the Lord. He believed God in what he gave him. Paul's the only one. I love that statement in Romans. I perceive you're partakers of my grace. The God will judge the secrets of men according to my gospel. I mean, this is powerful stuff if we'll really take it. The Lord is calling those that have an ear that'll hear this. Many are called, but few are chosen. And if you don't see the layers in that, God help you. So, here we go. Timothy, Paul's beloved son, will bring you in remembrance of my ways which be in Christ. One of the most beautiful statements, I think, in the Word of God. The remembrance of my ways in Christ. Do you see why we need to hear the remembrance of Paul's ways in Christ always? Do you see how when Paul came to Timothy, as we were saying earlier, when he was discouraged, oh, stir up the gift, honey. Remember? Do you remember? When you received by the laying on of my hands, son. My son. But you see how fast we can fall away when we don't hear it. See, Christian good is the greatest defeater from God's best, and it really is. And that's what Paul was telling him. He wasn't trying to be insulting. He was just telling him flat out. You got 10,000 of these baby preachers, but if you want God's best, you better listen to my ways in Christ, because there's no other way. You can disagree with that, and you can say that that's arrogant, but the only one you're fighting against is the Word of God. Because there's no other way you could cut this up except that right there. The mature way, the spiritual way, is the way of the fathers in the Lord. That's that way. Not just any ways in Christ, but Paul's ways in Christ. And by the grace of God, I'm so thankful. I believe that's what we want. Amen? I don't want any other way. I want that way. I want the mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus way. And not many want that. Most want the 10,000 preachers in Christ. Sure, we all know them. Turn the channel here, turn the channel there, give my money there, give my money here, give my money all the way over and all these different things. Let's remember Brother Hill, support the truth. You might feel good in different things, but you best support the truth. Amen. How many ways does the Lord tell us? Oh my, he urges us, shows us. Follow Paul as he followed me. Follow Paul as he followed me. And we'll grow up fully to that fullness, that measure, that stature of Jesus Christ. I mean, that's what he wants. He wants his full inheritance. He wants that one that will just sit and listen only to what the Spirit saith. And I was just thinking about that precious Rebecca. What did she do but get up on that camel? She didn't make her way. She just got led. She didn't have to even get her provisions or anything like that. The Spirit fed her all the way. She didn't have to strive. She didn't have, well, which way, which choice? What? She just sat there and listened to the Spirit all the way, because it was only going to one place, to marry the Master's son. Okay? Praise God. Well, let's stand and be dismissed. Thank the Lord.